God rest you, merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Jesus Christ, our Savior, was born upon this day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
Stars of gold? Why do we hang pretty lights outside in the dark and the cold? Why are there angels and candy canes dressing our trees? And why are there gifts beneath bought for our friends and family to please? In our homes, we have trees, all decorated and bright, with stars or angels on top and twinkling with light. This tree has a special meaning. It stays green year-round. It reminds us of everlasting hope because it never turns brown. Its needles point upward, a hint to us too, that our thoughts should go heavenward all the year through.
The star is the sign of God's promise of love. The star showed where to find the Son God sent from above. A Savior was born on a dark, silent night, and the star shone as God's promise to make everything right. The light from the star and the lights on the tree tell us that through Christ's love, we are free.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
On our trees we hang candy canes dangling from their hooks, put there to represent the shepherd's crooks. The shepherds like Jesus bring stray sheep back to the fold, and we today should be no less bold. Beside the candy canes sometimes hang bells. Shepherds use them as alarms to foretell. The ringing bells told shepherds where sheep were lost. Good shepherds search for and rescue their sheep at any cost. Bells guide us to find the lost, that is true, but the ringing also reminds us of joy and life fresh and new.
Did you hear, Lord? We hang angels on a tree, for they brought the news of Jesus' birthing. They first spoke to Mary and Joseph, who felt very unworthy. But soon this couple believed and accepted with quiet grace the great gift of God's child, whom they would soon embrace. The angels appeared to shepherds who worked in the field. They had seen the star, but were afraid of what else the heavens did yield. The angels appeared above them in a glorious display to tell the shepherds the great news of the day. Go see the Christ child asleep in the manger. He was born of God's love, and for God's love he will face great danger.
The tree is adorned in silver and gold to remind us of the precious gifts the wise men hold. The wise men who came from lands afar, following the promise of the great star. The gifts the wise men brought were special indeed, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, gifts an infant in a manger did not need. These were gifts for a king. The wise men had to know into whom this baby would eventually grow. Though the robe he would wear would be dirty and torn, and the crown on his head would be fashioned of thorns.
The Savior is a babe, asleep in a bed. His companions are cows, sheep, and a tired donkey that nods his head. The baby sleeps peacefully, all cozy and warm, and parents watch over him, protecting him from harm. Saint Nicholas, now this lesson is almost over, only one piece has been left unsaid. Why are there gifts under our tree? Why not baby clothes instead? The presents are a reminder to all of us, every last one, that God gave us an amazing, beautiful gift, the gift of his son. And that is why St. Nicholas comes every year, to remind all those who are willing to hear that while receiving gifts is a whole lot of fun, it is in the giving that God's work is done.
Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the bright sky looked down where he lay. As little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay, the cattle are lowing, the baby awakes. But little Lord Jesus no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky, but stay by my bedside till morning is nigh.
I think sometimes we forget that Jesus doesn't come on the scene with the same efficiency as Santa or the UPS guy. And he is a gift for sure, but his, as the story tells us, his arrival is turbulent. The kid is born in a shed because the maternity ward is full. And to be honest, we don't really know if the maternity ward is full or if it's just full when folks like Mary and Joseph show up. The innkeeper looks these two up and down and switches on the no vacancy neon. It was a troubling time that this story tells us about, and it was compounded by these troubling circumstances of the Holy Family. Mary and Joseph are on the move. We hear it from the story, and they're on the move to register with the Roman Empire. These registrations of the day were tax related. Go get counted so we can make sure that you are paying taxes to the foreign government that not only occupies your homeland, but also dominates you and your people, including dominating your religious freedom, which is so central to who you are and where you are and where your people have been for generations. This is the Christmas context. No kiddos, no little angels, no little lambs. Troubling times where struggle abounds. We also have to remember that when the angel came to Mary and tells her, "Greetings, highly favored one. God is with you. Don't be afraid. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob and his descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." And Mary replies, "How can this be? Because I'm only a virgin." We have to remember that when all that went down, it was Mary and the angel in the room and no other witnesses. And the angel doesn't leave a note behind signed by God either. This is the Christmas context. Troubling circumstance, at least for Mary, right? Honestly, I suspect Joseph may have struggled a bit too. Come again, Mary? You're what? By whom? But in the pictures, it looks quaint. We've made it that way. We hear a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. It's a part of the story, a real part. It's the way it's told. We could also hear first-time mom, forced to give birth out back, wraps her kid in a rag and lays him on a bale of hay. That's what we're dealing with here. That's the Christmas context. These are troubling circumstances during which Jesus comes onto the scene. And I don't imagine either of my two babies would have slept all that well on a bale of hay. And if the babies aren't sleeping well, you also know who's not sleeping well too. At least one of us, probably two of us, and maybe even more. Troubling circumstance. I can tell you that I've been a priest for 20 years now, and over the course of these two decades, we've had some highs and we've had some lows. I've been a pastor to the boom, and I've been a pastor to the bust, and I've pastored almost everything in between. And I can tell you, when times get tough, there is always a person or two who comes alongside the religious professional and queries, "What do you think, Padre? Is this it? Is it over? Is it all coming to an end?" And I usually respond with something like, you know, who would know, or I don't think so, or it's not for us to say. But given the circumstances of our story, the one that guides us, the one that informs how we live in the world, that one that drives the loving kindness that we seek to embody, the one that brings us to church this afternoon, given the circumstances of that story, I suppose a better response would be to look the petitioner in the eye with a smile on my face and say, Bob, hope must be on the way. Let's check the sky and all the barns. Have you seen any sheep ranchers yet? Remember, Bob, these are the circumstances out of which our salvation is born. This is our story. This is our song. We're finally in the right spot now, Bob. This is the Christmas context. Hope born among us in troubling times. Maybe you've felt it. And you look back on this year, maybe you sigh, wow, 2019, ready to put it in your rear view. Not everyone feels that way, of course, but many, many do. It's there. Switch on the 24-hour news cycle, no matter the choice of channel, and you'll get a dose. Let me assure you, it is not your imagination. We find ourselves divided in a cycle of struggle, trying to figure our way out. And then, right on time, here it comes again. Christmas. No need to check the sky or the barns. You can look to the left or to the right. Hope comes among us again, as it always does in the retelling of a story of a babe born in a barn in troubling times under troubling circumstance. The story is there to remind us simply that we are the objects, the recipients of God's love. The story reminds us of what great lengths God goes to so that we might know that we are beloved, that we are powerful, that we are beautiful, that we are God's strong partners, perfectly designed to deliver love when the circumstances seem unloving. It all starts there, and it all starts here again this evening. Church. And when I say church, I mean those of you who are here week in and week out, those of you who are here from time to time, and those of you who are here for an hour or so. Church, this is our story. Hope born in the midst of troubling circumstance. You, y'all, we are not just witnesses standing by. We are actors in a supporting role. All of us. Every single one of us. We were made for this mission of love, born again this day. These are the circumstances out of which our salvation is born. So take your places. We are in for an extraordinarily loving year. We must be. Merry Christmas. Amen.